Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to continue preaching in the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. And the title of the message is A Just God and a Savior. And I've taken that title from verse 21, but we'll go back and read a few verses before that. A Just God and a Savior. Now, I want you to understand how important that identification of the God of all grace is, a just God and a Savior. I preach this so much. It's the heart of the gospel. It goes back to the age-old question that was posed in the book of Job, for example, several times. And you know, scholars, biblical scholars, say that Job is the oldest book of the Bible. And I don't know that that's true, but it doesn't matter. It's all the Word of God. But if that is true, then you can understand how old these questions are. For example, one of Job's friends asked the question, how can a man be just with God? Now, first of all, what's he asking? How can man who is a sinner, a sinful person, be right with God? To be just with God is to be forgiven of all my sins. Now listen, don't just say forgiveness. Add this. To be just with God is to be forgiven of all my sins on a just and righteous ground. A basis, you see. There has to be something solid on which we can stand and claim to be forgiven. Now, what I'm telling you is God cannot, because of His character and His glory and His nature, as a just God, a holy God, a righteous judge, God cannot simply and arbitrarily just say, well, I forgive you. Now, when we talk about forgiveness amongst human beings, we're to forgive each other unconditionally, because we're all sinners. But God is not a sinner. God is not a sinful being. God is a just God. The Bible says that He reveals Himself in judgment. Shall not the God of all the earth do right? This word just can also be translated righteous, both in the Old Testament Hebrew and in the New Testament Greek. To be justified is to be forgiven of all my sins, past sins, present sins, future sins, on a just and righteous ground. And then to be justified is to be declared righteous before God. I'm righteous in God's sight, not by my works. The Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 10, there's none righteous, no, not one. Well, what's that talking about? It's talking about man by nature in his natural state, fallen in Adam and born in trespasses and sins, spiritually dead, depraved, in darkness and unbelief. There's none righteous, no, not one. And here's what I want you to know. That includes the best of us and the worst of us and everybody in between. None that doeth good, no, not one. That's good according to God's standard. Because God's standard of righteousness and goodness is perfection. And so, when we look at this, God is a just God and a righteous God. He cannot save me or you. Somebody says, but no, wait a minute, God's merciful, God's loving, God's gracious. Yes, He is. But He cannot save sinners in mercy. and in grace and in love, apart from His justice, His holiness being honored and satisfied. And that's why this phrase, a just God and a Savior, is so important. Going back to Job now, he said, how can a sinful man be justified with God? How is that possible? Well, it's certainly not by the works of man. You can work as hard as you want to work trying to keep the law, but that won't do the trick. That will not fulfill righteousness. And so that's the issue here. And this is what we need to focus on. Look at verse 20. This is Isaiah the prophet speaking to the people of his day in the southern kingdom of Judah in Jerusalem. And he says here in verse 20, and he talks to them because in terms that pronounces judgment upon them because of their sin. They were a rebellious people. And we all are by nature now. And God never saves any of us because we're better than them or better than anybody. If God saves any sinner, me, you, whoever, it's by grace. And so when I talk about God cannot show mercy without justice satisfied, the word propitious, He's the propitiation for our sins. God be merciful to me, the sinner, the old publican said. That word is propitious. That shows mercy based upon justice satisfied. God cannot show grace without justice satisfied. Romans 5:21, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That verse there is where we get the title of our media ministry here, Reign of Grace Ministries. Grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And He cannot love sinners apart from justice being satisfied. 1 John 4 and verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, His people, not ever all without exception, and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. So you see, a just God and a Savior. And this is something that God had revealed in His law, and He'd given to the nation Israel through Moses, and he gave them the Ten Commandments, which showed them the high requirements of God's law. And it required more than just not doing the act. For example, when He said, thou shalt not kill, can I say that I've kept that law perfectly? I've never physically murdered anybody. Well, He told them in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, I believe it's beginning of verse 21, you've heard it said by them of old, thou shalt not kill. He said, I say unto you that to be angry enough to kill is sin. Be angry enough. Have you ever wished somebody dead? Gotten so angry? You see what I'm saying? The law reaches the heart. Paul dealt with that in Romans chapter 7. He said before the Spirit came and revealed the reality of the law, he said, I really didn't know the law. I thought I was keeping it. But then I found out that the law slew me. In other words, if I'm going to come before God and claim to be a law keeper, then I better be perfect. And I'm not. And so when Isaiah spoke to these people, he told them that God is a just God and a Savior, but He's got to be both. And he says in verse 20, he says, assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you that are escaped of the nations. That's the people that actually come out of Babylon 100 years later. But he says, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Now, one of the main questions you and I and all of us need to ask ourselves is this. Are we praying, trusting, depending upon a God who can save or one who cannot save? Well, you say, well, that's a silly question. We're all trusting the true and living God. Are you? The God of the Bible? The God who saves sinners by His grace? Who is both a just God and a Savior? Or do you just have some idea of God? I'll tell you what, this God that preachers are telling people about, they say God loves everybody and Christ died for everybody and the rest is up to you. That's not a God who can save. That's a God who cannot save. You say, well, he just limits himself. You won't find that in the Bible. Now, you might find that among preachers and people who claim to be Christian, but you won't find it in the Bible. If you see somebody bowing down to a wooden image or a graven image, that's idolatry. But remember, idolatry begins in the mind and the heart. It begins with a false idea of God. Do you know God? Do you know the God of the Bible, who He is and what He's like and what He does? For example, He says that He's the God of election. I was preaching on that one time. We had some visitors. And a man went out and asked a lady, he said, what do you think about this thing of election? And she told me, she said, well, I didn't know what to tell him. I said, well, I'll tell you exactly what to tell him. Tell him it's in the Bible. It's in God's Word. And if it's in God's Word, it's true. Whether you understand it, believe it, or like it or what. He's the God who chose a people before the foundation of the world and gave them to Christ. And Christ said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He said, this is the will of him that hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, all whom he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. They're called his sheep in John chapter 10, verse 11. He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for who? For the sheep. And he said, I know my sheep. And he said, I've got other sheep the elect of God out of this Jewish folk. Them also I must bring, he said. Why? Because he's their surety. He's their substitute. He's their redeemer. And so he tells us, if you're praying to a God that cannot save, where does that leave you? It leaves you lost. And look at verse 21. So tell ye, he says, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? Now what the Lord is telling Isaiah to tell him is, this is no new message. Somebody might say, listening to this program, they might say, well, I've never heard these things before. You may have never heard them, but they've been around since the beginning. This is no new message. This is what God proclaimed from the very beginning. When Adam and Eve fell and put on their fig leaf aprons, which represented man's works and efforts to hide his nakedness, his shame, what did God do? He took an animal and slew that animal. He killed that animal. He shed blood. Why? Because he's a just God. That pictured God's justice satisfied in the death of a substitute. And he made coats of skin, took those fig leaf aprons off, removed those works, and put coats of skin on them. That's representative of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? See, I have no righteousness, except I have Christ's righteousness, which has been charged to my account. My sins were charged to him, his righteousness to me. So who's told this from ancient times? He said, have not I the Lord, verse 21, and there is no God else beside me. Well, what's so special about you, God? What's so distinctive about you? Here it is, a just God and a Savior. There's none beside me, he says. Now that's the holiness of God. That's the separateness of God. That's the uniqueness of God. There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Who is this God? He's a just God and a Savior. He's a righteous judge. Romans 2 tells us he always judges according to truth. He never pretends. He never denies himself. His judgments are always true and clear, and they're always right. That's who God is. And he's both a righteous judge. But he's also a loving, merciful, gracious Savior. On what ground? Well, look at verse 22 of Isaiah 45. And this is great. He says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I'm God, there is none else. Look unto me," he says. Look unto who? A just God and a Savior. Not just some idea of God. Not just the God of creation. Now, we do look to the God of creation. God created this world. But if all you see is the God is the Creator, then you haven't seen the true and living God. You don't really know Him. You know some things about Him. Paul deals with this in Romans chapter 1 when he talks about there's a general revelation of God in nature. There's also a more specific revelation of God in the conscience and in the law of God written on man's heart. But my friend, the saving revelation of God by which the Holy Spirit reveals the true and living God and brings sinners to salvation is in the gospel message that presents the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, His person, the glory of His person, and the power and success of His finished work, which is called the righteousness of God. And that's how God can be both a just God and a Savior. So He says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." Not just the Jews, not just the Gentiles, but God's people all over this world. "For I'm God, there's none else. And look at verse 23. Now here He's being more specific. He says, "I have sworn by myself." What does that mean? That means God, Hebrews chapter 6 talks about men swearing oaths to each other, making promises. And men always swear by something to make the oath or the promise valid in their minds. Men and women always swear by something greater than themselves. Well, his point in Hebrews 6 is that God has sworn, He has sworn to save His people from their sins. His chosen people, He has sworn to save them. He's given an oath to save them. And it's backed up, His oath and His promise. Well, what does God swear by? There's nothing greater than God. Well, he says, "I have sworn by myself." What that means is that God has engaged everything that He is in His nature, His glory, His character, His power, His love, His grace, and His mercy. He has engaged all of that to ensure the salvation of His chosen people in Christ. And so he says, "I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness." You see, this is the thing about the gospel. The gospel is the revelation of the righteousness of God that comes to His people in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and the Greek or the Gentile also. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." From faith means knowledge revealed, that knowledge of the just God and the Savior of Christ and His righteousness revealed. To faith means knowledge believed in the power of the Holy Spirit, from faith to faith, as it is written, the justified, those who are forgiven, those who are declared righteous, made right with God, reconciled to God, those who are saved by grace shall live by faith. They live by looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. So back here in verse 23 of Isaiah 45, he says, "I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, justice satisfied by Christ, and it shall not return." That means it's going to, wherever God reveals it in the salvation of His people, it's going to hit its mark. It's not going to return void. And he says that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Now there he's talking about his chosen people. They're going to bow. And they're going to swear. What do you mean they're going to swear? They're going to swear by God. They're going to have confidence in the Lord of their salvation. And here's what they say, verse 24. He says, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness. Righteousness and all strength. In other words, my righteousness is of God. He's going to declare that my salvation, all of it, the beginning of it, the final glory of it, and everything in between, is of the Lord. My forgiveness, the forgiveness of my sins, it's not given to me or come to me based upon anything that I do. You know, a lot of preachers tell people that that you cannot be forgiven until you repent. That's not true. You'll only repent if you ever see by the revelation of God that He has forgiven you of all your sins through the blood of Christ. Repentance is the result. Faith is the result. You see, salvation is not conditioned on you or me. It's conditioned on Christ. The Bible says that those who are God, belong to God, saved by His grace, that they are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 1:3. It says in Romans 8, He that spared not His own Son, how shall He not with Him freely, unconditionally, without a cause, give us all things in salvation? The Spirit of God reveals unto us those things that are freely, unconditionally, without a cause, given to us. 1 Corinthians 2:12. And what is freely given to us? All of salvation. When Christ, when He came into the world and He grew in wisdom and stature, in His humanity now, not in His deity, and He came upon the scene to be baptized, and He came to John the Baptist. This is recorded in Matthew chapter 3. And He told John to baptize Him. You remember John said, I'm not worthy. And He said, no, suffer it to be so, He said. Allow this to happen. Because, He said, suffer it to be so for us. And I believe He's talking about the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, spoken of Himself in the plural, for us to fulfill all righteousness. Jeremiah in chapter 23 and chapter 33 called Christ Jehovah Tsidkenu in the Hebrew. That's a transliteration, obviously. And it means the Lord our righteousness. And so He says, surely, verse 24, shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. I have no righteousness of my own. I have no power, no strength of my own. My salvation, my continuation, my preservation is all based upon what the Bible calls the imputed righteousness of Christ. Paul wrote about that in Romans chapter 4. He began talking about Abraham as an example of how God justifies the ungodly. And how does He do it? By His grace. And that grace reigns through righteousness. And He says in verse 6 of Romans chapter 4, He described the blessedness of the man unto whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. Well, what does that mean? Over in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says this, For He, that is God the Father, made Him, that is Christ, the Son of God, to be sin, or made Him sin for us, who knew no sin, that is Christ who knew no sin, for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's a great exchange. That's the heart of the gospel. What's it saying? How was Christ made sin? By the Father imputing, charging the sin debt of His people to the account of Christ. And Christ willingly took it upon Himself to pay the debt. That's called redemption. He's the ransom price. We're redeemed not with corruptible things. We're redeemed with the blood of Christ. He paid the price. And that's why he came to this world and took into union with his deity a sinless human nature and walked the earth in obedience to the law. He said, I came to keep the law, and I've kept it every jot and tittle. He told him, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. In the Lord have I righteousness and strength. And then he goes on in verse 24, he says, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. That's unbelievers. All who live their lives in unbelief and die in their sins shall be ashamed. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. And how do you call upon the name of the Lord? As he is revealed in the gospel message by the Spirit that brings a sinner to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works, wherein we know how God can be both a just God and a Savior, a righteous judge, and a loving Father, a heavenly Father, a saving Father, a merciful Father. And upon what ground does he forgive my sin? The blood of Christ, the satisfaction that Christ brought in his death. And upon what ground can he declare me righteous? The righteousness of Christ imputed. And it says in verse 25, in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. That's spiritual Israel. That's those who believe in Christ, both Jew and Gentile, the eternal election of grace, the elect of God. They know a just God. They know God as a just God and a Savior. Do you know him that way? Seek the Lord. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.